This is a Dice World production in association with Pants Pending Studios. Hello, my gentle snowflakes. This is Dice. You know me as host of The Social Hour, but now you can find me every Tuesday hosting the brand new Drink and Debate podcast. The Drink and Debate is an improv comedy competition in which four teams of comedians from all over the Pacific Northwest face off for beer, glory, and the title of Master Debaters. Wait, what? For beer, glory, as they master debating. Shit. Master to debater. It still sounds like I'm saying masturbate. Master to... son of a bitch. Screw it, we're doing it live! As comedians debate some things, so join us on the Drink and Debate podcast. Every Tuesday, you can find us on socialhourpod.com or on iTunes. And find the Drink and Debate live shows every month at the Spokane Comedy Club, hosted by myself and comedian Nick Cavassier. Go to SpokaneComedyClub.com for all the details. We'll see you there.
Well, hello there. I'm Andrew from Pants Pending Studios, and I want to share with you from the good book of never-ending random discussion.
Again, I trust you are putting your valuables in the center of your living rooms as previously instructed. Good Lord, I hope that's previously instructed.
The never-ending random discussion is a collection of funny and interesting people sitting down to be random.
Why is she naked?
Those eyes are so piercing.
It's...
I forgot that she had tiny little animal eyes, like beady little black eyes. Oh dear God.
Why is she covered in frosting? That's weird. That's like a cake thing. That's not for donuts.
It's your favorite flavor.
Anything can happen, and anything does happen. Not that I'm sexist, but kitchens need to stay in women. I went with it.
Kitchens need to stay in women. That's Andrew Reisenhuber, 2016.
Find the show at celebrategeek.com/nerd. Tune in and thank me later. Pants pending.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Today I'll diddle a kid, and I'll drink a Pepsi.
Get ready for the Social Hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, comedian Freddie Walker with producer Traz Swartout and Jay Mitz on the news. And now for your host, that's me, Dice Casillas. 150 episodes in, and I'm still doing my own goddamn intros. Welcome to the show.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. I am your host, Dice Casillas. Thank you for joining us for another great episode. In the studio, as always, we have Traz and Jay. What's going on, guys?
What's up? Hello, world.
Hey.
And we have our guest tonight, Freddie Walker in the house, comedian. How you doing, Freddie?
I'm groovy.
Good to see you, buddy.
How's everybody?
We got a little bit of a truncated show tonight. I've got some scheduling. Who would have guessed? My schedule's a nightmare. So I have other commitments I need to get to. Some great friends of mine, Tony and Devin, some other comics are friends of the show also, are getting married, and we're going to throw them a fucking party. It's going to be awesome. So I got to go do that. But we're still going to bring you a show. And this is our 150th episode, actually.
Wow. That's awesome.
Right. Episodes. We've never missed a week.
Sesquicentennial.
Yeah. Right on. We've had 150 episodes of the weekly episodes of The Social Hour. So here you are. Well, actually, we've had more than weekly. I've done more than an episode. I've done some extra episodes. So look at that. I feel I should quit. And with that news, this is the last episode of The Social Hour. fucking tired of this. But we are so we're gonna get right into it with Freddie. You don't have to listen to me complain about my week this week. So I'll have double the complaints next week. So I have some great things I want to talk about. But we'll do that next week. This week we're just gonna get in with Freddie, talk to him, and then do some news, and go from there. Also, if you're listening to this, Gonzaga is about to play too. So everyone wants to go watch Gonzaga, possibly get the national title tonight against North Carolina. If I was a betting man, I would not bet on Gonzaga. But that's just my pragmatic side. If I was betting with my heart, I would still bet against Gonzaga. Having said that, I hope they win. It's going to be a hard game. They play the game for a reason, but North Carolina is a tough team. Gonzaga plays in a weak conference all year. North Carolina plays some real killers all year long. But maybe when you listen to this, you'll either be dead or in jail from the party of celebration or despair from Gonzaga's win and or loss. I don't think they can do both.
Dead or in jail is if they win. That's the positive side.
Or if they lose. You can party so hard you die.
Touche.
I've almost killed myself partying many times. That is absolutely true.
Likewise, weird. I hope that doesn't happen. go Gonzaga, though.
Yeah. It will be nice for the city. Like, I don't... I'm not from Spokane. Are you guys from... Jay, you grew up here.
I'm a Washington girl.
Yeah. Traz?
Yeah, born and raised. This is all I've got going.
I'm from Florida.
Me.
Florida. So you don't care about...
Don't tell anybody, though. I'm ashamed of that crazy, whacked-ass state.
You don't want to be from Florida. Just tell me you're from Georgia or something.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's worse? Oh, man.
That was my last Air Force assignment, which prompted me to get out of the Air Force right away.
Wow.
I said, nowhere in hell am I spending 3 years in Georgia.
In Georgia?
I was just coming from Europe, too. And they told me I talk funny, and they were the ones with the accents.
Oh, no.
How much of a culture shock? How backwards?
Tell me.
Georgia is backwards when you go from, like, Arizona to Georgia. If you go from Europe to Georgia... That's like a culture shock.
Extremely.
You need some sort of continent sorbet to like cleanse your palate in between those two places.
Luckily, I'm from the South, so it was not like, you know, a major shock.
Where in Europe were you?
I think
that matters.
Well, I was coming from Belgium, actually. That was my last assignment in Europe, was Belgium.
You're protecting Van Damme.
NATO, actually.
Yeah.
I was at NATO military headquarters.
Yeah.
Which is in Mons, Belgium. As a Belgian pronounce it, Moan. And that's where I was coming from. So once I got off the plane, the moment I got off the jet, boom, hot, heat, humid.
Humid.
I'm in the South again.
Damn. No, that we were talking about that today. I was talking with some people. In 2 weeks from today, I will be in Belize. And the humidity down there is one thing that gets me a little bit. But I'll be on the coast, so it's not as bad. But the humidity, and like I'm going to stop over in Houston. And Houston is just terrible.
Yes, it is.
Humid. I hate that. I'll take a dry... my buddy's going to Arizona tomorrow. And I'm like, I love the Arizona area. I would take a dry heat. 110 degrees all day, every day. If it's dry, I have no problem with that. You add a little bit of humidity in there, I feel like I'm swimming in my underpants.
Ew.
Like, I don't... Like, that's a bad day.
Exactly. And that's why I could handle Vegas. When I was on dialysis, I went there 2 years in a row while I was on dialysis in the summer. Where we hit 3 digits. And it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I can handle a dry heat. It's that humility that kills you. Really.
So let's, you gave us a little history. You were in the Air Force and things like that. So Freddie's a comedian here based in Spokane now, but he's all over the place. He was in Vegas, tried out for America's Got Talent. He's over in Portland a lot. He's kind of everywhere.
Seattle,
yeah. So give us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in Spokane doing comedy, et cetera.
I ended up in Spokane. Because
as a woman,
I'm still going through part of that transitioning. That was supposed to be our little secret, dude.
Sorry, nobody listens to the show. It's okay.
I'm taking prednisone, which is one of my kidney transplant kidney medications, and prednisone does make you grow certain parts. I need a bra pretty soon.
Oh.
I will. And unfortunately, I told my doctor, this is a part of the body that's growing? Bummer. It was not like, you know, down below.
Yeah, let's keep it
going.
That
would have been nice, yeah.
Keep it moving south.
Exactly. I wanted to go, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I wanted to be like the rest of the guys in my family. No. As it feels, I got the short end of the deal. Figuratively and literally. I ended up in Spokane because when I started back doing stand-up after a long hiatus, a good buddy, my close friend, lives here, and I came to visit. And he knew at one time I was saving some money to move to California because it's so expensive. He made me an offer I couldn't refuse to move here. We can help each other out, you know.
Yeah.
For a couple of years, and I saved some money. So while I was here, of course, I was doing comedy. When I visited him, I went to Uncle D's and did a guest set. It was a weekend when I visited. Mm-hmm. They liked me. And then whenever I was in town, I always did a set. And then when I moved here, of course, doing the open mic circuit, doing the open mic scene there. And I did do one paid show. And I hosted there some of those open mics, which I haven't hosted, D, in years. I haven't hosted an open mic.
Really?
The last time hosted an open mic was at Uncle D's open mic.
Wait, you haven't done it at the club yet?
I have not, because I haven't asked.
Oh.
And people always thought it was funny for me to do the host, because I do primarily one-liners. Mm-hmm. I said, well, first of all, when I did some road gigs, it was just me and the headliner. So I had no choice but to open the show as well as keep it going while he closed it. Yes, she closed it. And so I had to certainly come out of those one-liners right away by, you know, doing the MC stuff, welcoming folks in, make the announcements, and, of course, work my jokes in, and then just go right into my sets. Mm-hmm. And when I did do one-liners, I usually did them between acts or setups. And so working the road made me a great MC. I'm very rusty, like I said, because I haven't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I've been wanting to do it eventually. I'll do it again, maybe at SEC too, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
So how often are you in Spokane, and how often are you traveling then? Or?
Well, it varies, because I'll be back in Vegas in June, because my close friend, who was a roommate at the time when I restarted stand-up, is living in Vegas, and now he's getting married. And so when I was back there in January for America's Got Talent, which is a very good experience, by the way, and I've learned, I heard about the politics of getting on there, because they really do want some bad acts. Because of my group, it was only me and a 13-year-old kid from Arizona, who was pretty good. And all others were just singers. And so the guy that was singing a cappella, he's used to singing with music, very funny guy, but he was dressed in character as from the old TV show The Monsters. He was dressed as Grandpa, the vampire.
Yeah, Al right? Lewis.
I can show you guys the pictures, all right?
Yeah, definitely.
I do. And I'll show you all the pictures from my experience that I have. And so he blew it right in the middle of the audition, and he apologized and, okay, moved on to the next person. Now, at the very end of our auditions, they said we're free to go. The producers came out, the ladies came out and said, oh, Mr. So-and-so, we need to see you back in the office for some paperwork screw-ups. And I found out from Michael Glassmeyer, who was also there, and others, that was code for pretty much, yeah, you're going forward.
Yeah.
Really?
excuse me. That show's geared towards more musical acts, singing acts, visual stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when they do go for a comedian, either it's a particular comedian type they have in mind, or it's a really visual comedian. I met a ventriloquist. He probably went past round one. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that picture as well. And so I talked it up as good experience. On the plus side, I got to do a showcase spot at Planet Hollywood on the Strip. I'm happy to say it was my second set on the Strip. I did one a couple of years ago down at the Blue Room, Blues Room, Foundation Room.
Oh, okay.
At Luxor. And that got me, I got that Planet Hollywood set because I had such a good reputation in Vegas. They really love my one-liners, I'm happy to say. I guess Vegas is a really kind of one-liner kind of town.
Yeah.
And so I always did well. And so that's what got me on to that showcase, even though for a month I didn't have a voice. I was hoarse as heck. And I was trying to talk as little as possible. And
did that give you the kind of smoky, sexy voice, maybe?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I'll go deeper.
Ooh.
It's like
ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd pay money for that.
This is my this is my Sweet Daddy Cornbread voice.
Ooh.
We'll talk about Sweet Daddy Cornbread later. But the good thing about that showcase set was they told me I had the best set and I should have won $50, but there was some screw up there, and they liked it so much that I didn't get a chance to finish my whole set because they were interrupting my one-liners and enjoying them so much and congratulating them. Mm-hmm. Dude, you're crazy. That's wild. That's what that, you know, and stuff like that. And it's great. And I didn't get a chance to finish the set. And so I have a standing over. I have a standing invitation that whenever I'm in Vegas, mm-hmm. I can get a showcase spot at Planet Hollywood.
And, that's awesome.
Thank you. It was a great room.
So how many places have you done comedy? How many states? How many different places have you done?
I haven't counted them all, but probably about 10. I have been all over the country. I haven't done New York yet. I haven't done New York, but the biggest of all in the galaxy,
yeah.
Besides L.A. Of course, I've done L.A. But I say about 10 or so. I'm not a real hardworking road comic mm-hmm. because for years I was sick and then on dialysis, we made mm-hmm. things logistically impossible almost. And so now I'm getting back into the game, more or less. I'm not really out there on the road all the time as much as I want to. Eventually I will. I haven't been concentrating on that so mm-hmm. much. I've been concentrating mostly on trying to stay alive.
That's pretty important.
You know, I mean, it's
I'm taking a
that's
bunch
like
of,
30% of the battle.
Exactly. I'm taking a bunch of medication. I'm very active online with Comedy Wire and Twitter. Mm-hmm. When I started actually going Twitter, recommended by other comics, one-liner comics, I hesitated for years because it's like, I don't put my stuff on there, people steal it. And then he made me realize, you know, this is perfect for us. And then, so that's okay. What the heck? I don't mind throwing away some jokes. And so July 2015, I went active on Twitter full-time. On jokes.
What's your Twitter handle so everyone knows?
At QZerdo. I'll spell that. That's CUEZERDO 1957.
Oh, the traditional way you spell QZerdo.
Or as we said in the Air Force, Charlie, Uniform, Echo, Zulu, Echo, Romeo, Delta, Oscar, 1957. That is my handle. So as of right now, I have like 20,000 jokes on there.
Nice.
Wow.
I only put jokes on Twitter. So my earlier Twitter comments were just, you know, regular comments until I went full-fledged comedy July 2015. And so I'm trying to find a way to get to filter all those other non-comments. I want to publish it eventually. That was one of the things I wanted to do, is trying to publish it. And then, so I'm still working on that.
But, have you gathered a pretty decent following on Twitter?
You know what's interesting about the following on Twitter, which I don't take too seriously. I've been on Twitter now, coming up in 2 years now, mm-hmm. and I got like maybe 200 some odd followers, but actively following me, I think less than that. So it's like people follow me, they drop, people follow, mm-hmm. and it's like, and then Twitter always sending me these ads about how to boost that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not going to pay to have people follow me. You must be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not running a business right now, so it's like, no, I'm not going to pay to have people follow me. You follow me or you don't.
Well, you that get these sense. Weird things on Twitter where like it's I'll have people like, this person followed you. It's like some guy who runs like a bootleg button making like shop in Portugal.
Exactly.
I'm like, why the hell is this guy how did you even find me? Lane, why are you following me? Are you like, is he a big fan of the show or
probably
what, yeah, he's like, hey,
bootleg
it's like making buttons. He's
exactly.
illegal buttons.
You know,
that's what they sound like in Portugal.
Exactly.
So, you know, I only do one accent.
One of the first persons I joked about on Twitter responded to me right away with Donald Trump's people.
Wait, they responded to you?
Uh-huh.
Oh God, what
the
did you say?
No, they said they were, no, they were just saying they were following me. As in, okay, cool. I got my first followers.
Nice.
And I've had a few other celebrities liked a couple of jokes that I wrote, especially about movies. Because I can do a movie review in 140 characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of
Independence Day. Go.
Oh, you mean right off the top of my head right now?
Yeah.
Independence Day, better than Independence Day, the sequel.
That's so.
Touché.
Which is what Will Smith said. This is why Will Smith said, I don't want one of these, you know, when he saw the script.
Yeah.
Because right. Number two was horrible. Resurgence.
Oh, it was bad. It was terrible. I remember watching it and I'm like, I just remember watching it going, I was about an hour and a half in. I'm like, I don't fucking know what's happening right now. Like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know what. Like, I mean, I get it. There's aliens. Aliens are bad. We don't want aliens. Like, I get the gestalt.
That's pretty simple.
Like, I understand that part. But the dynamics of what everyone individually is doing.
Right.
No clue. Like,
okay.
Like no idea what their destination is, what their motivation is, what anything.
Exactly.
Like, I just completely lost. Like, this is. Or either that or I just didn't care.
Right. And Scarlett Johansson's new movie, Ghost in the Shell.
I heard it was
bad. My review quickly was, I saw that. as Lucy.
Right. Yeah.
And then I saw what it was called, Lucy. And then I quipped, I mean, put in quotation marks, mm-hmm. as her saying, "Well, you know, some gigs are for art, and some gigs are pay the bills."
And that's true.
That was one of the quips I had her say, as if she was actually saying.
Well, you know, some movies, even stars will tell you, they're like,
exactly.
Like, listen, I think it was Elijah Wood when he did like Flipper.
He was like,
did you really want to do Flipper? He goes, no, but they paid me to hang out in Australia for 2 months.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I got paid exactly. $5 million to hang out, you know, exactly. all expense paid trip.
Exactly.
To
Who
Australia.
Will turn that down?
Yeah.
I wonder how much Dwayne The Rock Johnson got paid when he did The Tooth Fairy. Because he just made a total ass of himself.
Sure,
but they probably paid him a few million dollars. So it's like, I can't even judge you for
I wonder
that.
How much he got paid for SNL when he hosted once when he was actually in drag with when Tim Meadows was on, the ladies' man.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great sketch. But
one of my favorite sketches they did when he was on was when he was Clark Kent and he didn't pretend that he wasn't Superman. And he, like, everyone in the Daily Planet knew he was Superman.
Exactly.
And when he had, like, the cape, like, hanging out of the back of his, they're like, yeah. You're not Superman.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder who would have done that. We're, you know.
You know, which brings up a good point, Deez. I would say Christian Bale, of all the guys who played Batman until, you know, Ben Affleck came along too, but Christian Bale was the first guy to play Batman that as soon as he was in costume as Batman, you knew he was Batman because his voice was more menacing and deeper.
Right.
Michael Caine's voice was deep, was the same all the way.
Michael Keaton?
Yeah, Michael Keaton's voice was the same all the way,
sure.
deep pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't really need to make a change. But
what about Adam West? Adam West.
Adam West was the same, but he was like, you know, that was,
right.
I grew up watching that.
Goofy,
so that was just like,
style,
yeah. Yeah, that was,
did
you, know,
you like the Christian Bale voice though? Like it bossed.
Yes,
oh,
I did.
No.
I'm the Dark Knight.
I'm Batman. Yeah.
It was so hard for me to take it seriously.
Oh, I loved it. Christian Bale pulled it. I had no when he was casting, everybody making a big deal about it. I said, first of all, y'all need to see American Psycho.
Oh shit, that's
exactly.
true.
A great
that's
movie.
True.
And then I said, watch American Psycho and come back and tell me he can't play a confused, conflicted Bruce Wayne a la Batman.
Well, have you ever seen The Machinist?
And The Machinist,
that's
exactly.
Great, yeah,
I'm not saying he's not a good actor, but like if I were a criminal and somebody came up to me and they're like, I'd be like, I'm sorry, what? Like it's hard to follow his instructions if you can't even understand him.
He's great at accents. He really is.
Yeah, he is good at accents.
And I love to hear him speak in his natural accent, his natural voice.
What is his natural voice?
He's Welsh.
Is he Welsh?
He's Welsh.
Yeah.
I had no
Welsh,
idea.
Rather.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah.
Welsh.
Yeah.
But he sounds British, of course.
Yeah.
But he's Welsh.
That's super interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of actors like that where you're like, wait, you're from where? Like,
exactly.
You know, like, I just assumed you were American. Like,
English actors have no problem doing American accents. It's usually the opposite. Just like an Australian or an Englishman doing even a Southern accent.
Yeah,
it's great.
Well, look at Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is Australian. He's like, if you hear him talk, he's like, "G'day, mate," you know.
Exactly.
And then he does
Logan.
It just does anything.
It's nails
it. You're like, God, you guys are all just better than us, aren't you?
And Joel,
like, every other country is just
Joel Edgerton. And the movie Loving recently about the Virginian couple, interracial couple. They had to go to the Supreme Court because back then when they married black and white, that was like a really against law.
Yeah.
Well, he's Australian and he does a beautiful, perfect. You would think he was Southern. He does a Virginian accent. He's Australian.
Okay, so let's look at the reverse. Who's an American who's just slaughtered, like did a really poor job at an accent?
Kevin Costner, when he tried to do Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh.
Yeah, because he kept going back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, one minute he was sounding American, next minute he's trying to sound English. Robert Downey Jr., I give him credit. He can do a great English accent.
Okay.
He can do any accent, really. Because if you saw Tropical Thunder, it was hilarious.
He was so good.
Wasn't he playing an Australian? Trying to play a
black
man.
Yeah.
So, Robert Downey Jr. can pull it off.
Your
better actors, Pacino, De Niro, all these guys, they can pull off those accents easily. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these, you know, pretty boy actors, some of them, you know, don't have that depth.
Like
I give it to Brad Pitt.
I feel like McConaughey's not nailing that.
Exactly. Pitt can do it. Brad Pitt can do it when he did, you know, like in Snatch. You like dogs?
That was
remember?
That was hard
it's
to
like,
understand.
It's like nobody understood what the fuck he was saying.
Yeah,
you like dogs? You like dogs?
But I've actually met Irishmen who sound like that.
See?
So it wasn't like you're doing a poor job. It's like, no,
exactly.
That's accurate to that particular part
exactly.
of Ireland.
I didn't think it was doing a poor job. It's just that it was just so fucking great. It's like, I don't know what this guy, who is this guy? What is he? You know, it was great.
Deez has a pretty great Kate Beckinsale accent.
Kate Beckinsale, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yes, she's sexy, especially with all that black.
I do. Yo.
All that black and blue eyes. Ooh.
Well, that's why I said, no, yeah, I'd make 18 Underworld movies,
too. I wet my pants.
It's just Kate Beckinsale wet in black leather running in slow motion the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah, like, I wet my panties.
Right. I'm just going to tell you.
Like, I wet my pants because she's like gothic, so gothic, right. Those deep blue eyes.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to the 11 a.m. show on a Tuesday so I can watch the movie with my pants off.
Exactly.
You and like 40 other men.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm helpless when I'm staring into those deep blue eyes.
She's
especially
beautiful.
In person when someone's got like really deep blue eyes.
Yeah.
Like staring at me and saying, fuck, I'm helpless.
So are you a movie buff? Big movie guy?
Big time. You should see my movie collection, which I stopped buying. I only buy certain DVDs now because as I move, which has been a lot over the past few years, it takes up 4 big boxes. That's how big my movie collection is.
Yeah.
And since I was a kid, just like movies, comic books, TV shows, all that. Because as you know, back then, we only had like 3.5 channels. When I say and a half, I'm counting PBS.
Yeah.
And we watched a lot of stuff that grown-ups did. And not understanding a lot of it, but digging it like Perry Mason.
I
always knew the Perry Mason, you didn't care about the lead up. All you cared about, you can tune in at the courtroom scenes.
Right.
That's what the real drama was, the courtroom scenes. So when he can make somebody, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
With the first question, or you can just look at his eyes, how you browbeat you. I'm a serious, hardcore movie buff. I did an experiment once when I lived in Houston, by the way. I love Houston. I went to the movies every day for 2 weeks straight. Actually, 13. Something stopped me from going to 14. I can't understand. I can't remember what it was, but I went for 2 weeks straight. And one day, I watched 6 brand new movies in one day.
Good God!
Part of that was I did it at 2 theaters. I left. I started at 12 noon. I ended up back to my place. It was like 3 in the morning. But it was 2 different theaters. Back then, I was doing that. You know, these multiplexes. You pay for one. And slip into another because there's so many theaters, but I've outgrown that habit. You know, I almost got busted once too. Anyway, but some movie theaters are so used to me, they let me get by because I'm there all the time. But yeah, I did 6 movies in one day, and so that's a record.
Well, now you can't with the weird. I mean, granted, don't get me wrong. I love the seats; they're super comfy. But you have the assigned seating now,
which
I hate sometimes. So, I really hate that.
Yeah, it's always full. I've gone like on a Monday at 9 a.m. and it's like, okay, you can be the front row in the corner.
Yeah, think ahead, like, Jay.
It's exactly. A Monday at 9 a.m. What the fuck?
Exactly. And by the way, Tuesdays are $5 days, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
At the mall,
I will be
right?
going. That's AMC. I know that's Regal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about AMC because I'm telling you, ever since AMC was bought out by this Chinese corporation, their service really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a movie watcher. From that, they were the first chain I was with the Movie Watcher card, and when they were taken over, they changed all the rules, and it's like now you have to buy the card. And it's like, are you kidding? When I can get it free at Regal and other chains, and so I don't know what they run on Tuesdays, but I know that's Regal. And the only time I go to AMC now is because they have they'll show more independent movies at Regal. I mean, there than Regal. Like when I saw Moonlight, little did I know that was going to be the best picture of this year.
Yeah,
I thought it was La La Land.
Everybody thought it was going to be La La Land. If you're Steve Harvey, they needed Steve. And the movie winner is La La Land. You know, again,
so
I messed
awkward.
Up. But and I was just there Friday when I saw The Zookeeper's Wife, which is another great World War II flick, based on a true story. It takes place in Poland. Shortly after Hitler invaded them, and
the weird time,
sort of a sad story.
Well, so, what's your favorite movie of all time? Then
that's another question. I can answer. Just like I love cartoons and cartoon characters. People say, "What's your favorite characters?" I can honestly say I have characters, and I can't. I don't have a favorite movie. I have favorite movies because I love comedies. I love gangster flicks. I love all movies, and. So I can't narrow it down to just one. It's just too many good ones.
Yeah.
It really is. Can you narrow it down to one movie?
Yeah, I can pick one.
Which is?
Clockwork Orange.
Really?
That's a good one.
Stanley Kubrick.
I love Stanley Kubrick.
I love that.
I tell you what, since you're Stanley Kubrick friend, give me the full title of Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, and How I Came to Love the Bomb. Dr. Strangelove and How I Came to Love the Bomb.
Oh, there's a little bit more to that.
wait. God.
Google it, somebody. I'll tell you. Tell me if I'm
is
wrong.
Is it ridiculous?
No, it's not ridiculous, but Google it. I'll tell you if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Dr. Strangelove, or I Love to Stop Worrying, How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love Devon.
Yes, that's it. There you
that
go.
That is
that's
the full
it.
Name
yeah,
of the
full
movie.
That's the
full title, yeah. That is, I love a movie title with the full
Good
name.
God.
Lord of the Lone Lane, like Paul Newman directed his wife, Joanne Woodward, in Man in the Moon Marigolds and their effect. And Man in the Moon Marigolds and their effect on gamma rays or something like that. That's the title. I love these long titles. I'm working on a screenplay now, which has a long title.
What's the screenplay about?
It's called Porn Story.
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, you know the old saying. They've always said, if you put a good story, if anyone ever puts a good story into a porn flick, that's going to be a great movie. So after watching all these great porn flicks.
Have you ever seen Taboo 2?
God,
I have not,
no.
But
we're not going down that rabbit hole again.
I have not, but. After all these past few years of watching porn flicks, and I kind of realized that porn flicks at first to me were quite utilitarian. It was just something to do to jerk off and get over in 5 minutes, right? But now I can watch
five
porn
minutes.
For hours.
What are you doing with the other three and a half minutes?
Actually, less than that. But, well, you know, sometimes it, you know, it's kind of hard to get up. But so I decided, you know, sometimes under the influence of certain chemicals at one point in my life, and I realized, oh, the beauty, the artistry. And porn, it's more than just, you know, people getting together and you know, having sex. I was looking at the lighting, the cinematography. I'm serious, all that good stuff, just like I'm watching a regular movie.
Yeah.
And my friend thought I was really high. And when I was saying, I said, no, for real. And so the idea hit my mind that why not turn it into a story? So I actually got the idea last time I was in Seattle, and I actually started putting ideas on paper. And I do want to turn it into a story, a screenplay, for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
See, I want like three hot sex scenes and a story revolving around it, of course. But got to have three hot sex scenes. I want to rate it NC-17 and really push the limits on the sex and the dialogue. You know what I mean?
So you'd want like a legitimate story with actual kind of feeling relationships. And
exactly.
Something... Yeah, I love that.
Exactly. Sort of a parody. It's just a comedy because one of my characters' names is Billy Joel Bob Banger, which I used as a one-liner last week, D. And
is and this Billy set in Georgia?
No, it's not. In fact, I haven't decided where to seat it yet. I mean, to situate it. Probably L.A.
Okay.
And so Billy Joel Bob Banger was the winner of the Cum Shot Awards.
Oh, my God.
And, for Best Shooter. And his congratulatory speech opens with, "I want to thank Crystal Meth."
It should be called a congratulatory speech.
Congratulatory.
I love it. Right?
This should be in the South.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Feels like
I know, right? But
yeah.
Well, he opens the speech with, "I want to thank Crystal Meth for giving me a career, because before Crystal Meth, no one would come near me. But thanks to Crystal Meth, now I have a great career and a big dick, and and the phone doesn't stop ringing. Everybody loves me." And that was Billy Joel Bob Banger.
Oh my
and
God.
That's one of the characters. The main character is sexually confused because he's like gay for pay or can be gay for pay, which is a big thing in the industry because a lot of straight men say they'll do it. In fact, a buddy of mine who's in L.A. right now told me, he said, hell yeah, I'll be gay for pay.
There's more money in it.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He said, you write a check big enough, I'll be gay for pay, you know? And so, yeah, he's like, you know, sexually confused, and I haven't worked out some of the other characters, but it's all germinating. And in fact, I went out to the library today to check out a screenplay book before I buy that screenplay software.
Yeah.
Because I haven't written a screenplay in like, 30 years? The last time I actually tried, I wrote a screenplay, and I know some things have changed. And so I do want to. There's definitely going to be humor in this.
Well, there's nothing like a library to get a current book on how to get things.
Well, I asked them today when I checked it out, what's the date on this? She said 2015. I said,
all right, right, good, all right.
Anything like the 80s or something? No, that's definitely.
So I'm curious for Jason. So to me, not to sound sexist here, as a female, I think that sounds amazing because, like, I'm not, like, super into traditional porn because it just, I don't know. It's so shallow, and there's nothing going on except for just like genitals banging into genitals. It's like, ew.
Yeah,
like, I want to know. Yeah. Oh God, this does sound so female. Like,
did they stay together?
Love,
exactly.
Like, what happened up before?
No, I want to see a bukkake.
So I like.
I want to see. I want to see.
So
I want to see
well,
eight colors
you,
of dudes coming on an Asian chick. And then,
oh my God, well, you have so many issues.
But you know what, Jay? Since I've been thinking of this idea, I've been listening. I've been actually watching Pornhub with the volume up.
Did you more. Not? Okay.
Because most of the time, you know, it's just not really credible dialogue. But once I did see a porn flick with actual humor in it, like some guy kept interrupting the scenes. with commentary or something, it was pretty funny.
It was rare. I was watching a porn once, and I actually saved it. So, if you guys want to watch it, we can. But there's this great.
I don't have any. Do you have any Vaseline?
I use baby oil. Is that okay?
Definitely. As long as it's slick, baby.
There's this part, there's like this, you know, they're all just houses in Calabasas in North Hollywood, California, like in the valley in California. Right. It's where all the porn comes from. And it's just some house, some Spanish-style house, you can tell, in SoCal. And some guy's banging a chick on the couch, and some dude's got his GoPro filming it. And in the background, like in one of the hallways, you see some guy walk by holding a pizza, and you see him like look over and see he's like, oh, and he like walked up.
Okay, we might have to see that,
you know,
because
just look on the face like, ooh, and they don't cut the scene. This is how bad budget, like exactly. Low budget porn is, like, just keep shooting,
see the boom mic all the time dropping into the scene on accident. Speaking of which, did you see, I'm sure you all seen Big Lebowski, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
I remember one of the kidnappers was a porn star. They showed because Jackie, the guy he owed money to, that Jackie Treehorn, the porn producer, mm-hmm. That they hadn't mixed up with the other Lebowski.
Yeah.
Well, he produced porn flicks, and this one guy who was one of the kidnappers was an ex porn star for Jackie Treehorn, because they showed one of his little one of his little clips, and it's pretty funny because it was about something about sausage. He kept using the word sausage, whatever, playing off that word sausage or whatever. But it was a funny, corny scene. I mean, it's a funny scene. So it kind of reminded me of what y'all were talking about in the pizza thing. But yeah, I always thought, you know, I told my friend that I got really seriously, deliriously crazy over this idea. I'm writing down notes.
You could do well, I think, definitely with a female audience.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm gonna put a story to it. Like, for instance, like I said, I want three hot sex scenes, and the first one, I like the movie opens with. I want the movie to open.
Find it. Hold on.
I'm pushing the buttons on NC-17, right? Okay. Because by the way, that's a running joke too, NC-17, and
Hold on. Okay.
So
did
you guys find it?
Okay.
Are you pulling it up?
Yeah. This is gonna get really.
Oh, pulling it
really
out.
Pulling it out.
They can't see the computer screen right here, but you guys.
You're gonna put it on the main monitor.
Yeah.
Right?
So this time, I've got actual.
That's
porn
what I figured you guys were watching.
I'm all trying to be professional, take notes, and I look at some chicks just getting railed.
All right. So this is gonna get.
This is
gonna get really real right now.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me, baby.
So watch this area back here.
Okay.
You see this area back here. So
how long is the clip?
Well, it's like a lot. This
it's 8 minutes. We're all watching 8 minutes.
No. I have it right. I have it already at the spot.
Okay.
I have to ask.
Yeah, we're not gonna watch through 8 minutes of porn.
I have to ask you. Have you ever shown porn during one of your podcasts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have. So
I don't want to say this is our go-to, but
it's not the first.
We haven't necessarily showed porn so much as we've like dabbled in kind
of. You've
done
the opening of Taboo, but that was different.
Okay, so again, watch this area up here. Trash. So
he's just
banging out, banging. Watch the guy walk by. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
I saw a shadow.
So also, here, that looks so fucking uncomfortable.
Right, Jake? Could you
that looks terrible. Look at up in the corner.
He's about
the guy just walks
out.
By.
He's like, uh-oh.
And he just zooms in. He's like, oh, fuck it. Exactly.
Brings me to my next point. This brings me to my next point. I think with your porn thing, you could be successful if you write the porn that's actually fucking sexy. Because no goddamn woman likes whatever position they were just doing. That was an arm bar. There was nothing good
UFC
about
move.
That.
He was using his knee to pin her arm down and he was pulling her hair.
Right.
No.
She's trying to tap out.
Yeah, exactly.
Women don't like cum on them and they don't like arm bars. These are basic things.
I call those pretty much like porn star moves.
Yeah.
And the posers. Because I find myself doing that a lot of time when I'm standing in front of a mirror.
Alone?
Alone. I have to say to him, I said, dude, you're doing one of those porn star moves again, posing like a porn star, because I've been watching so much porn.
and someone rubbed off on me. And,
no pun
intended on that one. And I'm going to be using that quite a bit. But like I said, I want like three really hot sex scenes. Like one opening the movie, or like an orgy scene.
That's how you're going to open the movie, with an orgy scene?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to set the precedent. Exactly. Early
on. Okay. An orgy, got to have an orgy scene. Got to have a steam room scene. Have you ever had sex in a steam room?
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Isn't that hot? Erotic?
Yeah, it's too slippery.
Depends on what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, is that a thing in sex?
No, depends on what you're doing.
No, I need some grip.
You know,
I don't have to put on like like I don't want to put on like mitts to have
we'll
to
just
like,
up the temperature. Just lower the temperature.
Like,
that's all.
Yeah,
just lower the temperature. Trust me, I've had some.
There's not many places I have some.
It would seem like you were in Georgia and everybody was sweaty, and then you have right. swamp ass. Like nobody wants that.
Right.
But not for the purposes of
like I don't know if I came on you or if you're just sweaty.
Well, for the purposes of if it's sticky, you'll know. But for the purposes of the movie, of course, it would be done with the right lighting and everything, because it wouldn't be so steamy, because it would zero in on those two or who's ever in the steam room, right? So it won't be all so steamy and all that. I mean, you can have the illusion of steam and all that, but it won't be so steamy, because the audience needs to see them actually having sex in the steam room, because that's something you rarely see in the porn room, on the porn flick, unless you see the gay porn flicks. And gay porn flicks, by the way, I've seen some, and I can tell you, they are way more outrageous than straight porn flicks.
Well, they do like a double arm bar.
They've done more than that, trust me.
I want to have it seems more outrageous to me.
I'm figuring out the third hot sex scene.
Okay.
But so far, I want an orgy that opens a movie that I think would be really cool.
Yeah.
And would get everybody's attention right away. And, of course, a steam room scene. And the third one I haven't figured out yet.
Have you heard of the cedar solder move?
No, I haven't. What's that?
Oh, man. This is classic. You basically, you kind of start off like doggy style position.
Okay.
And the girl's got to like position herself so her body's kind of a fulcrum, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And
what?
And you just kind of plank out a little bit. Start cedar soldering back and forth.
Where are your hands
and
at?
And ideally in the air if you've got that kind of strength.
That's some core strength right there. Yeah, Jesus.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, you really work hard. You feel accomplished when you pull this.
You know what?
You can throw a spin in.
Listen.
360, yeah.
You know what? If you're very athletic, and that's the one thing I like about watching gymnastics. So I'm watching these gymnastics, I'm going, ooh, the positions they can get in. like when they're upside down, with their legs open in the air like that, and I'm thinking, you know, as a guy, when you're right behind her with those legs open like that, it's like, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The world is your oyster.
I don't know.
I'm saying, it's in your face, baby. It's talking to you.
I don't have that kind of strength anymore. I'm a lazy lover.
I'm just saying, for athletic people.
I've got like 7 good minutes in me, and then I want
a straight missionary. Right?
Missionary. I'm keeping my socks on and the lights off. And
first
then,
5 minutes are a warm
You know what I would love
to
see?
Cool down on the last 1 minute. So it really is like 1 good minute in there. One solid minute.
What I would love to see from your porno, instead of 3 really hot sex scenes, how about like 3 really honest sex scenes? Like somebody just struggling with a condom wrapper for 6 minutes. Okay. Somebody, just like the terror
Who's
of trying.
Who's struggled with a condom wrapper?
Well, it's
like the people from infomercials.
Yeah, they're not easy. Or the awkwardness of shower sex. Shower sex sounds good in theory, but it's actually really
no,
tough.
It's not that great.
Exactly. Those are good ideas, Jay, because remember, I'm not even at the rough draft stage yet. I'm just writing out ideas, which, by the way, when I get home, eventually I got to put on my computer because the ideas are just flowing.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, when I came up with some of these ideas, I was between some legs. But anyway, I kind of high at the moment, too. And that's probably why some of those ideas were coming fast and forward. Pun intended.
Touché.
Exactly. But that's the point, Jay, is to make as realistic as possible with the real story behind it. And that's why I think a group scene. Now, by the way, and these sex scenes don't have to be long. Just long enough to get your attention and to cross that NC-17 line.
Okay.
But that's the purpose. I want to cross that NC-17 line.
Just like a 2-pump chump. Put that in there. That'll be real. That'll be honest.
What now?
A 2-pump chump.
See, there you go.
Just like 30 seconds.
Has realism porn ever ruined like something that you thought you might like?
Why?
Well, Jay, how do you feel about porn?
I'll admit I feel a little bit of pedophilia going on.
All right, Jay.
No, that is an out of context clip that does not relate to this.
I don't know if that's.
God damn it.
But I mean, you know.
I hate your. You have so much blackmail on me. No, but I mean. You have so much blackmail on me.
Listen, but you know. I mean.
Pedophilia did cross my mind, Jay, for this story. However, that would probably piss a lot of people off, turn people off. More than turn them on, since this want to be. This is not to be released as a porn flick. This is to be released as a regular movie.
Jay's down. You can just send that version to her house.
Jay, yeah, I'll be up there if you want. Oh no!
Special edition for Jay only. You know what I'm saying? No, really. This is supposed to be a real movie inside a porn flick.
That's like the inception of porn.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm giving it a subtitle.
Jay, how would you feel if someone asked you to do porn?
Come on down if you want to chance at old Jay.
God damn it.
Wow. All right. I mean, I guess if that's how you want to represent yourself.
These are out of context.
Down. Speaking of which.
What would the name of your movie be?
Too much anal plundering.
Wow. Holy shit. Jay, come on. That is.
Jay, you nasty that is girl. Just,
out of context.
Oh,
you see,
yeah.
Jay, that's why I like your lines. Like, come on down, because that reminds me of the vagina monologues.
Nah.
That's why I don't like the vagina monologues. When I'm down there, I don't need any more extra talking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My pair of lips are enough. And I'm quiet.
Boy.
I'm going to delete all the files on your computer.
I hate that you
have all of these sound bites.
No, come on. Jay, this
I
is...
I'm under the firm
I just belief. Watched you say those things.
No, that was
Jay,
not
listen.
The case.
But
like,
Jay,
hey, I want to be inside of you.
Oh, no! Jay, come on. We're talking on this. This is a real...
I feel
show.
Like you just have this Jay. On a CD and you fall asleep to it every Jeez. Night.
He's just 65 and stage 4-8.
Jay's just completely unprofessional right
Jay,
now.
Jay, come on.
You're trying to tell Jay, us about
I'm
your
sorry.
Art and your comedy.
Jay, I know, and you just start
just running away with it.
Jay, just yelling random things.
This is funny. I'm glad, Jay, that, you know, from a female perspective, that you see juice in this.
Juice?
In this idea.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that you see really, that you see a real.
Yeah, they're the people that fund
potential.
It. They fund the movies.
Not Jews. God
damn
it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, yeah, I'm sorry.
I said juice.
Oh, juice. Okay, yeah. Never. That's yeah.
Well, that'd be great as a follow-up if Jews in porn.
I just think women like a little, not women, you know, I'm sure some dudes do too. Like
some
a little
romance,
more story content.
That's what I'm saying. That's why there's a real story.
Come I can on. Speak for all dudes. No.
No, that's why there's a real story wrapped around, around the porn. But I can tell you, like D said, guys, when watching porn, we're not really looking for a story.
No.
No, this is all visual, baby. You know, this is not aesthetic. Mm. You know, when I'm really watching porn, it's an aesthetic experience at the point. I can watch porn all day when I'm high. But when I'm really, when I'm sober, like I said, that's when it becomes utilitarian.
Okay.
Just get to the point. Jerk off a couple of minutes or less and it's over.
But isn't the orgasm more gratifying if you've just watched an hour and a half long movie and
no,
then at
I
the
have
end
blue balls.
They hold each other and they caress and they're like, I love you. And then you're like, sploosh.
No, I have blue balls at that point.
No, because right. then I just watched that one movie and I realized I'm just sitting here jerking off by myself.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fuck.
That's true. You're so lonely. Yeah.
Jay, do you know what blue balls are?
I'm familiar with the term.
Okay, well, blue balls are when you guys have been jerking off or just playing with our dick or whatever for a while, for a long time without coming, that pressure builds up. It means if you haven't come in a certain amount of time, all that pressure builds up in your ball sack.
Yeah.
It means you've got to come at some time to release it.
And then they have to jerk you off.
And that happened to me in my sexual experience. And when I came, because I usually don't moan, I'm very quiet. But when I finally came, I had to scream. I was moaning.
It's screaming.
Like, exactly.
Okay.
Get this shit out. Get this shit out.
All right. Well, we're clicking on time. We gotta bail soon, but we are gonna get into some news. So let's get into the news.
It's time for the consensual news with Jay. She's gonna tell you what's going on in the world today. Propaganda time, so let's fist pump. Celebrity in sports and Donald Trump. Jay wants old people gone. And this is the end to her new song.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is courtesy of our great friend Erin Parks. Follow her on Facebook, which she did. That was last episode she did her Jay's live news song. So, all right, Jay, what do you got for us this week?
So I know we're kind of pressed for time, so I'll keep it pretty short and sweet.
All right, now is the news. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. So there are a couple things that have been going on recently. One is that old DJT, Donald J. Trump, is getting a lot of shit because while he was on the campaign trail, he repeatedly criticized Barack Obama for going golfing. And he made the promise. He's like, I'm going to be too busy. That's a terrible Donald Trump impression. I just realized I can't do a Donald Trump impression. I'm going to be too busy. Anyway, so he was saying that he would be too busy to go golfing, and yet he's been in office for, I think, just a little over 2 months, and he's gone, last count was 13 times.
Yeah.
So he's there literally every weekend.
And I read today, Jay, that the Secret Service has spent $16,000 on just his golf rentals alone so far.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. So just from exactly like a tax perspective, how much money it's taking to fly him and the Secret Service down to Mar-a-Lago, it's insane. And they're trying to do all of these tax, you know, reducing a whole bunch of social programs, obviously increasing military spending by $54 billion. They're trying to increase military spending by $54 billion, and then they're slashing EPA. They're slashing a lot of different social programs. They're slashing the arts. And they're also trying to get rid of Meals on Wheels, which actually, if Melania Trump stayed in Washington, in D.C., for 10 consecutive days, it would pay for Meals on Wheels for an entire year.
Exactly.
So let's get our priorities straight is the fucking point of that.
Totally.
Yeah, kids. I mean, you don't need food.
In Donald Trump's defense, though, I have been hearing about this same issue for like the last like 20 years. Like even with George Bush Jr.
Every president golfs
like,
a lot.
Golf, Obama, golf.
I feel like that's always the one thing any side can default to, no matter who the president is. Like he's golfing a lot. Like, but you know what?
I just think it's more the hypocrisy. It's not like
everybody golfs,
but he's like, I'm never going to golf.
Sure. Right.
And then golfs way more than anybody else.
Because everything he faulted Obama on, he's done triplet.
Here's what I don't get is I am functionally retarded and live in Spokane and just work like do my comedy and work a job and shit. I don't have time to golf. Mm-hmm. I do not have the time to golf if I wanted to. Yet the guy who runs the free world is out there like twice a week golfing. Like, you should at least give the illusion that you're busy.
Right?
Like, you know, or at least in between holes, have someone like walking next to you, like opening a file and pointing at things. Even if there's nothing in the file, just make it look like you're like, rubber.
Like they did recently during a presentation, all those files with nothing in them.
Yeah. Right. It should just be like cat pictures or something. I don't care. But at least make it, you don't actually have to be doing anything, but at least try to pretend. Like you're put on the illusion, make us think you're doing something so we're not like, what the fuck, dude?
That's what I'm saying. And besides his crazy executive orders, he spends so little time actually doing work that a while ago they had a news update and it was like, POTUS spends the weekend in Washington working. And it's like, that's not a news update. He's the fucking president.
He should be working.
No, right. That's not
news
a news
when
update.
He's not there.
Yeah.
But Steve Bannon is our president.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Calling,
right.
That's the Wizard of Oz. That's who's calling all the shots, pulling all the strings.
Yo, you know what's weird, too, about the president? Like, that's a kind of unique job that's hard to come by. You know what I mean?
Thank
so,
you.
Like, if you get that job. Yeah.
There's, like, only, like, 44 people that have had.
So, it's like, if you get that job, is it, like, a job where you're just going to be like, I'm just going to kind of, like, half-ass and slap at this job? Or do you, like, kind of step it up to the fucking plate?
Well, I think it's interesting that being the president of the United States is a job that you don't have to have prerequisites for. He was a fucking businessman.
No, you have to be 33.
Oh, sorry.
And a natural born citizen.
Which we all know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
Which is not part of America. No. Not the only America I want to live in.
At least the contiguous part of the United States. All right?
No.
But I know, 35. So you know this is going to inspire other copycats in future years. Hell, like Oprah just said recently, she can run for president, people say, but you're not qualified. I mean, what are your qualifications? Do you realize
DJT, baby.
You don't have to be qualified anymore.
Exactly.
Just showed you don't have to be qualified to do anything.
He opened the door for Gorilla.
Here's the deal. Trump is president and Kanye West is the highest paid musician. Clearly, you don't have to be qualified to do shit anymore. Okay? Like, you don't have to be able to make music or be a president or be presidential to fucking the best at anything.
Oh, he was presidential once when he read from the teleprompter that address to Congress that he gave.
Yeah.
That wasn't a State of the Union, but he addressed Congress and everybody kept saying, Republicans especially, oh, he looks so presidential. Damn, he was reading from the teleprompter. He didn't go off script.
Yeah.
That's why.
I was impressed he knew how to read, honestly. I didn't think he did.
Oh.
I have the best words.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they're the greatest. Come on. Bush, after Bush, you don't have to be able to read to be a president.
That's true. Watching Bush struggle with his poncho, though, at Donald's inauguration was one of the cutest things I've ever seen.
I just like Bush was funny at least. He was a train wreck, but fun at least.
Exactly.
This is just like scary. And like Bush was at least fun. You're like, that old hick.
Well,
he's a redneck is so weird.
He's kooky.
Yeah.
See, now that he can afford to say what he wants to say because he's not on president anymore, not on record.
Uh-huh.
Somebody said they quoted him from Donald Trump's inauguration. Mm-hmm. 5 great words that Bush said. What the F was that shit?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He was quoted as saying about the inauguration.
When even Bush is like, that, something's wrong with that guy.
Exactly.
That's when you know
something. Take it down a notch. Take it down a notch.
Exactly. Because Bush is what I call, he was the king of malaprops.
Yeah.
Malapropisms. You know what I'm saying, baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think the level of hypocrisy in this cabinet. Especially another example is Donald Trump's hard stance on immigrants when all three of his wives have been immigrants.
Thank you.
If we deported his wife, we would save so much fucking
and wasn't
money.
Wasn't she a hoe at first? That's what got her into this country?
Rumor. She is a model.
Right?
They said that she...
She's a model.
There have been rumors that she was
a...
You got the right pimp, you a model hoe.
There are rumors that she was a high-priced escort.
Exactly, bitch.
Which is arguably... what she is now, because she's not with him for his personality or his physique.
Well, how do you know? He could be a very charming man.
That's what people say in public. I mean, in private he is, but I don't know. But
well, you don't get to that state of life or that stature in life without being charismatic and charming. I'm not saying he's not an asshole or Hippocratic Hippocratic. That's not a word.
Hypocritical.
Or a terrible person. I'm not saying that, but you have to have some charisma and energy about you, and have some charm to be able to climb
and
to get to
coke
those.
At 3 a.m.
Well,
helps.
That too. Yeah, you know. I mean,
remember the debates?
You know what? Hey, I've done that. I'm still here in this basement.
Exactly. Remember the debates?
Yeah.
Remember the debates?
Oh yeah.
Hey, it's not his fault. There's only 24 hours in the day.
Exactly. But you brought up a good point.
That's true. He doesn't need a lot of sleep.
Hey, you brought up a good point about the hypocrisy regarding the Senate confirmations, because as we all know, Merrick Garland didn't even get a chance to, you know, to be confirmed or even, you know, listened to, really. And all the Republicans are talking about, they have never seen such level of obstructionism when that's all he did for 8 years. The first words out of Mitch McConnell's mouth when Obama won in 2008 was, our job is to make sure he's a one-term president, you know. And then he also brags about, he was so happy to say when this court seat came up.
Yeah.
And this was before Scalia was dead. I mean, he was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
he said he was happy to look the president in the eye and says, you are not, Mr. President, get to nominate, get the Supreme Court judge out of this. You know, that's just cold-blooded. And it said, Mitch, you know, whenever Mitch McConnell talks, you know, it's kind of hard to hear him when he's speaking through that sheet. You know what I mean? And
I'm really curious, though. I haven't heard a lot from the Obama family, which I think is interesting because
they're being cool right now.
They're being really classy about
exactly,
everything.
They are. With the wiretapping thing, exactly.
But with the wiretapping, with them trying to roll back Obamacare, and
they say he has a lawsuit.
Yeah,
if he acts on it.
Hopefully,
but you know what? I think Obama is just so. He's so measured and collected, even
exactly.
When under pressure, he's so calm and measured and collected. Like, just he's like a cool, like, man, that motherfucker is cool, right?
I hear,
like,
no, polar opposite.
I've heard from some, I read rather, say he says from some of those cabinet meetings, like, you know, don't make him mad. He can cuss.
Oh, I bet. Again, the same thing. To get to be the president, you have to have a certain aura, and part of you is that, like, hey, when I am in charge, I'm fucking in charge. But he also knows to be measured at times. And I think he understands, he's like, dude, I gave you my best 8 years. Fuck y'all. You know, like, yeah. I did my best.
Chilling.
You know, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm kicking back. I made my, you know, I did what I did.
I'm chilling.
You guys, it's up to you guys now.
But
you know
what happened when he was in New York a few weeks ago, just getting some coffee somewhere. Thousands of people just ran out there, you know, losing their minds, ran out of their offices, you know, serenading him and stuff. You know, Trump's got to hate all that.
Yeah.
Because he wants all that celebratory. Just like he said, he didn't care about celebrities not coming to his inauguration. Bullshit.
Right.
Because he couldn't get any A-list celebrities. You know that worked his nerves. You know that worked his nerves. That's what he wanted. He wanted Beyonce and Jay-Z.
So like they're going to show up. Yeah. Okay. No, you got Ted Nugent.
Exactly.
Shocker.
Thank
like
you.
The most openly racist celebrity besides Mel Gibson.
David Duke
Kid
and
Rock.
Ted Nugent showed up.
Kid Rock. I'm just saying, if he could have gotten those people for his inauguration, you know he would have gloated about it and bragged about it. Got the best, the hugest, you know, celebrities, as you were going to say.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder, like, how heartbreaking it must be for Barack to watch him so quickly undo everything he worked for. Like, granted, the American Health Care Act didn't go through, which is good, but he has rolled back a ton of his environmental regulations that Obama worked really hard to enforce. So just with the swipe of a pen, he's resetting just all of these horrible backward policies. So that's got to really suck.
Which means the next president will have to do the same thing.
Right.
Because
to
we
fix
know,
it, yeah.
Exactly, because he's going to leave this country in such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the first thing the president, he's going to leave the next president to what Bush did to Obama.
Yeah.
He's going to leave this country in such a disaster, you know. And then they
blame the current president when it's well, did you look at what you adopted, you know, what you came into, you know, you didn't have a bath.
Yeah, he has the nerve to say he inherited a mess.
Right. Mm-hmm. So,
you know.
All right. Well, anything else, Jay? Was that the one?
I think we should probably wrap it up with that one today.
All right. That's the one. All right. Well, we're going to wait, one last thing.
Oh.
As usual, because this is my new tradition and people tell me they like it. So I do what people say they like.
Right.
At the end of the show, we always close because again, there's going to be a lot of vitriol in the show. Not to each other, but we say things and not necessarily things we mean and make jokes. So with that, at the end of every show now, we like to end the show by saying nice things about each other. So
you mean at this group?
Yeah.
A nice thing about each other?
Yeah. So, I will start. Jay, you look quite dashing tonight.
Oh, thank you.
You do. You look quite lovely. And I like your socks.
Is that it? Just my physicality?
No, you look lovely.
Talk about your personality, you asshole.
Get one.
Oh!
Excuse me for complimenting you. You look quite lovely tonight. I thought that was a good compliment. Traz, I love that shirt.
Yeah, thanks.
Traz always has the best clothes. Athol, Idaho.
Yeah.
Nice. A Big Jim's pastime. What is Big Jim's pastime?
Oh, you know what Big Jim's pastime is.
Hold on to your hat.
And Freddie, thank you for coming on the show first time. Hopefully we can get you on again.
Love to.
I always love when you're at the comedy club. Come more often. I know you're all around. So thank you for coming on. I think you're a really funny guy. Everyone has a lot of respect for you in the community. So thank you.
Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
Are we still live?
Yeah. Freddie, it was a pleasure to meet you. You just have one of those personalities. I can tell you're hilarious. And it's like, it's really good to meet you. I can't wait to see you stand up and perform. Swear, man. So, Jay, your Donald Trump impression is hilarious.
So bad.
Spot on.
I appreciate your passion for the issues and stuff like that. That's very cool.
Thank you for looking past the physicality, Traz. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even notice.
He sees me for who I am. You couldn't even notice that she looked good?
I just see a personality.
Yeah, my eyes are up here, Deez. It's in front of my brain, which is the most beautiful part about me.
Oh.
Sorry, never I wasn't mind. Looking at your tits. I was looking at your heart.
That's a really good line. Yeah.
That's a street joke, guys. That's a street joke. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Jay. Yeah.
Okay.
I was looking at your tits.
Oh, geez. Man, you're such a great host, honestly. I was thinking about that
a lot
this week. It takes a lot to get up here and to be able to keep the show moving and come up with like interesting, witty things to say every week, and you nail it.
Thank you.
You look sharp as hell too, man.
Thank you.
Right on. Hella clean up. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
I clean up all right.
Okay. Freddie, it was so awesome to meet you. You're a really funny dude. You've got a ton of great ideas. I'm excited for you to bring some more interesting stories and femme-friendly porn to the market. That'd be great. We'd love to see you do stand-up. Seriously, let me know whenever you're going. You should definitely host at the club sometime. I would love to see that. Okay. Traz, I feel like we learned a lot of interesting things. What was it called? The jack scissor?
The cedar solder.
The cedar solder.
Yeah.
That was intriguing. And yeah. I know this is a nice podcast, so you couldn't see, but he did like a demonstration with the table, yeah. And it was athletic.
Hey, straight up, I tried to pull that move on my ex-wife once,
yeah.
And it just was not working. She was pissed.
Okay. Well, you know what? Better luck next time, I hope.
Got aspirations.
I believe in you, Traz, and I bet you can do it.
The next day, you.
Deez, I like how your shirt tapers down to your cleavage, and you got a nice pants bulge, and I have nothing else to say about you at all.
I appreciate you. I like nice that you're looking at my bulge.
Yeah, that was like honestly the best compliment she's given.
That's so stupid. That's actually what I want. I cannot win with you.
That's actually what I like. Yeah, fine.
Jay, I saw with you. It was a pleasure meeting you as well.
Oh, thank you.
I will be out and about on open mic circuit working on jokes for this week. In fact, new ones, as Z would tell you, I try to have new one-liners every week.
Awesome.
One-liner is pretty much on my thing. But I do have some stories. I'm glad that you love my idea about the porn story. And I'm going to definitely have you in mind.
Oh, will you now?
As I'm working on it.
Glad really, to be of inspiration.
It's great meeting you. And thanks for inspiring me on this to go further. On this
my heart,
story.
Right? Not my tits.
Exactly. I was looking at your tits and your heart. Trash, you know, for being a native born and raised Spokanean, if that's correct.
Yep.
It's great. Cool, because I met some cool native Northwest folks from Washington and Oregon, so I lived in both states. It's great, and you would probably do well in my movie.
All right, yeah, thank you.
You could be in my movie.
Right? I hope this has a big budget.
It'll have something big, that's for sure.
Freddie just cast his movie here. And, I feel like I should get a producer credit at least at this point.
You can be the guy walking exactly. by with the pizza.
And Deek, thanks for having me here. I would love to do this again. And yeah, you could be the producer because... Wow, of the podcasts I've done, which has been a few, but still has been fun. I've never got to see porn doing my podcast.
You're doing the wrong shows, Freddie.
We had such a porn friendly show.
Yeah, you're doing the wrong
you
shows.
You know what I'm saying? A porn centric show. And so it's great.
Next time I'll show you Orca.
That's our niche. We're carving it out.
Okay. Yeah.
Orca. Ooh,
it's a great movie.
I'll be glad to come back again.
Yeah. Ooh. 1977's Orca.
It's a great movie.
Have you seen it?
I tell
that's
you,
that's what we're talking about.
That's what turned me into Whacking Whales.
Like it, yeah.
Yeah, falling in love with whales.
Well,
and
technically, they're
stories.
A porpoise. But
porpoise, yes, technically.
I know. Because
remember how he was, because that scene when he opened his eye.
Yeah.
And to see Richard Harris killing his wife
yeah.
and the baby.
Oh, okay.
We watched it on the podcast. I showed it to him on the podcast like 2 weeks ago.
When the eye opened, you saw how big that eye was? It's like, I got you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I got you, motherfucker. You know, as we said in the hood, I got you, motherfucker. Because, you know, like, when you talk between your teeth, that's when you really mad. I got you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I got you. I got you. I know where you live, motherfucker.
This horrible movie's burned in my brain. Whenever I see these whales, I'm going to hear that hood voice. That big old eyeball.
That whale's going to hunt me down. I'll be afraid to take a bath. I think that thing's going to hop out.
I got you, motherfucker.
All right. Well, that was the weirdest ending to our say nice things segment.
You got to talk between your teeth. You got to talk between with your teeth clenched.
All right.
I got you, motherfucker.
Let's see. So, let's
next
see.
Next time
all
we're
right.
gonna talk about Sweet Daddy Corbin.
Yeah, we'll do something. All right, oh so
that should be your director name for this movie.
All right, guys. So for the let's see. Oh, quick reminder: come to the Spokane Comedy Club at 315 West Sprague Avenue if you're in the area of where this show is recorded this Sunday at 8 p.m. for the Drink and Debate live show hosted by yours truly and Nick Cavassier. We've got a great show put together for you, so come check that show out. If you need some tickets, I've got some I'm giving away, so hit me up. But that'll be this Sunday. And then also, I've got some other dates coming up, but I'll give them to you next week. I'll figure them out. Also next week we have musician Derek Hart coming on. So check that out. That's going to be a great show.
Derek is cool.
Derek's great. So yeah.
I see him at Geno's.
Yeah, yeah. He's at Geno's all the time. Yeah. He's a great guy. So he's going to be on the show next week. But that's our show. I'm going to go do stuff with married people. That sounded weirder than I meant
to. By the way, his name is, I call him Blind Melojana. Melojama. Because he puts on those dark glasses when he goes on stage. He's a character.
He's a killer musician. I'm looking forward to having him on. So.
Blind Melojama.
All right, guys. Well, we are going to get out of here for the Social Hour. I am D, sent for Jay and Trash and Freddie.
Yes.
Peace out, everyone. Yeah.
All right.
Great go podcast. Gonzaga. Woo.
All right. Thanks, guys. Let's see.
Don't choke on those cocks.
Oh, my God.
All right. Go GU. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Gonzaga University, the entire state of Georgia, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Independence Day 2, Resurgence, Asian Bukkake Girls, George W. Bush, and Jay's personality. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Billy Joel Bob Vanger was the winner of the Cum Shot Awards.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios Podcast Network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!